Rebellion action is a
understand this concept clearly, and we understand it, then we are living, Maboisai, in a very painful situation of ripple effects. The ripple effects of the Beis HaMikdash have affected us in an awful way, meaning we don't have
our source of life. We are called La'alugas Nefesh, we are deeply humiliated, we don't have this vital connection, and we have serious ripple effects which have come out as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Let's take a few of them. Chazal explained that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when a person went to sleep at night, there were no chatorim at all. With the Torah, Chomitz Shor Erev atoned for all aveiros of that day. And in the morning, when he brought the Kotlin Talmud wiped away all Avedas of the night, meaning a person was always Tohar. He could reach such purity and perfection in his Avodas HaKodesh. He was literally a Keli Tohar. Without the Beis HaMikdash, we remain Pogum. We remain damaged. We don't clean up. All our Avedas compounded one another. I remember once I was asked to speak in Maimonides to a group, Nebuchad couples, in A-Time, an organization called A-Time, where they didn't have children or a lady. And they gave me information to look at in order to speak to these couples. And one of the lectures which I had to read in order to prepare was from a psychology professor. And he was explaining to them, he explained in a class that he lifted up a glass of water and turned around to the class and said to them, "Tell me, how much does this glass of water weigh?" One person said 3 ounces, another person said 4 ounces, another person said 6 ounces. And the professor then turned around and said, "Tell me, does it really matter how much it weighs? What really matters is how long I have to carry it for. If I have to carry it for a long time, if I carry it for 5 minutes, it's nothing. If you tell me I have to carry the glass for an hour, my arm is going to hurt. If you tell me I have to carry the glass for a day, I'm probably going to need surgery. I can't hold it so long. It's too difficult for me." The professor meant and follows, if you're carrying stress, the stress compounds itself. Once you carry so much stress on you, you can't take it. Your body breaks down. You can't take it. I was thinking when I saw that, isn't that the same thing perhaps with the Beis HaMikdash, with our Chatoim? The difficulty that we have if we don't reach Tava, we don't reach Chaim, is because we're carrying all our Chatoim. We're walking around with these things all the time. We can never properly clean up. When you have the Karbonos, the Soi HaMishtaleach, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, when we had that, then a person would walk away with tremendous delight and happiness because he cleaned up completely. We're not gifted like that. We don't have that asset in front of us. So that's the first, perhaps, awful, painful, biblical effect that we have. The second one is, perhaps we can look at this Ole Regel. What was it like to go up in Ole Regel in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? What happened there? A person would enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and he would receive the most phenomenal enthusiasm and inspiration from seeing the Beis HaMikdash. He would walk through, and Chaim Volozhin brings down to the Gemara in Yuma, at the end of Shaar Aleph and Nefesh HaChaim, that the Kohanim opened up all the gates and all the curtains, and you could see right through and saw the two kibbutzim hugging each other. And that scene of hugging each other was a tremendous inspiration to people. And they said, "See what connection you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see how favored you are, see how chaviv you are to you." And that sight of seeing that, you then walked on, and that was called Yeroeh. Then you saw the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're missing that. We don't have that sight anymore. We're not allowed to see it. We don't see that chizuk. Imagine coming up 3 times a year that wayside, and you see the Kuvim, and you see such a sight, and you see how close you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That in itself gave tremendous enthusiasm and inspiration to people. Remember, of course, there were no cameras, so person in his sight looked at it. Just by the sight alone, looking at it, you would then go home and remember it, and it was embedded in your mind. It was like a picture in your mind, what you saw. And that is a classic until the next Yom. Looking at something, perhaps, we're missing that sort of factor that nowadays. We don't have that ability. We don't have that gift. I remember hearing about the Zayda of a Baron Cutler who had said that he wanted to go and see the Vilna Gaon. And he spent a long time traveling to Vilna. It took him a long time. And he told the family he'll be gone for about a week or two, however long it took him. And then when he arrived in Vilna, the Gaon was davening Maariv in his cloys. And he went into the cloys, and the Gaon was davening Shmona Esrei. And after davening Maariv, he walked away and came home again. And the family turned around to him and said, "Did you see the Gaon?" He said, "Yes, I did see the Gaon." "What did he look like?" He said, "I don't know. I only saw him from behind. But did you see him from the front?" And he said, "No, I didn't need to see him from the front. What I saw from behind was enough. Just one glance of the Gaon davening Maariv was enough. I didn't need to see more." Can you imagine the tfisa, the grasp, the glance of one look of looking to see the Gaon from behind? Can you imagine our boy said, what we're missing, just one look at the kuvim. We don't have that. And without that, we're missing our whole connection, or missing our whole inspiration which we would have. Another area which I thought we could look at and see is the disadvantage that we're under with chinuch avonim. Imagine taking a child up to Har HaBayis, and the child looks out and sees the sights of the Har HaBayis. There isn't time to go into it now, but if you have the Siddur of Yaakov Emden at home, Look up, and there is an account there given of a Roman vassal who came to Yerushalayim to see the Korban Pesach, to see it. And he describes, it's an account of a goy, but it's a phenomenal account of what he says there. And he said that when he arrived there, he arrived before Rosh Chodesh. And he said, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, there's a decree which is made out in Yerushalayim, all people must bring their animals and their lambs and their goats. Everyone must bring their animals to the Beis HaMikdash because people need them. And if you didn't bring them, then there was a chayim put on all your property to Kodesh. It all became Hekdesh. And people brought their lambs and everybody came to outside Beis HaMikdash. And there was a sea of white of all the semer, of all the lambs and the goats which were brought, the animals which were brought. And they were, the whole area was covered and they washed all the animals off. And then, as it came to the time of Yud Dalet Nissan, he said, everybody got excited and everybody brought their Korban Pesach and prepared it. By the time it came to Erev Pesach, everybody dressed up ready for Yom Tov. Everybody was dressed in their Yom Tov clothing. They came to the Beis HaMikdash. And outside the Beis HaMikdash, there were 12 Levim with silver rods guarding everybody so that they wouldn't push. And then 12 Levim inside carrying gold rods. But he said everybody walked into tremendous decorum. No one pushed. And everybody realized that you don't push in front of the Avodas HaKodesh. Even the Melech has to wait online. No one pushed, he said. What an amazing sight of seeing thousands of people coming together and no one pushing their way forward, saying, excuse me, I have to go forward. No one did that. He said, once an old man, like the Mishnah said, got squashed when the gates were closed, but otherwise the sight was phenomenal. The decorum and the decency and the midas benodah machaveo. And then it came to the time of the Shechita, and he said, everybody came in and they brought their lambs to the Shechita, the Korban Pesach. And as they did the Shechita, the dam was collected, and all you could see is a strip of silver, a strip of gold. It went so fast, the Kohanim brought the time of the blood, this animal was shepherded until the time that the dam was put on the Mizbeach. All you could see was a line of silver, a line of gold. It was done so fast. And he writes in his account that it took 30 days for them to prepare to do this, 30 days without spilling a drop. He then said that all the Kohanim wore red and only knee-high me'il, and their arms were uncovered a little bit so the dam wouldn't disturb their begodim. He said, the sight was phenomenal. Can you imagine that voice if a child sees that? If a child sees the enthusiasm and the inspiration, and for the time he describes the halal of the Levian playing all the instruments, what happens if a child would see that? He would be brought to life. He would be confirmed for life. He would be such enthusiasm if he would see such a thing. And that's what we're missing. That's a ripple effect. Beis Chayenu, we're missing that source of life and inspiration in our lives, which is so crucial and vital. It's interesting, at the end of this account of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there's a little footnote that the King of Spain, King Alfonso the Great, read this account of the Roman vassal and asked the Jews in Spain to make a mock Korban Pesach. It says at the bottom of the note, he read this account. He was so fascinated. He said, I'd like to see it myself. I don't know what it was, but they did it. They made Korban Pesach in front of him with all the singing and the vessels, and they made a mock Korban Pesach. And he then turned around and said the following. The King of Spain turned around when he saw it done in his courtyard. He then turned around and said, it's more worthwhile for Jews to die than to live and not have their Korban Pesach. They have such comfort and such splendor and glory. It's better for them to die than to live without having this tremendous ceremony. Rabbis, I can imagine if the children would see such a thing. The King of Spain is astonished by it. Children would see that. Then we would have children who would understand what it means, Avodas HaKodesh. We're missing all this. Supposing a father takes a child to Harabais and it's pouring with rain. Oh, it's a very windy, gusty day on Harabais and the smoke went up straight. A child sees all these things, sees the Kohen come out in the morning with all the clay keres and the vessels get swallowed up in the ground, the hot ever caught from the Azorah. All these nisim would create tremendous enthusiasm for a child, and we don't have that. I was thinking a little bit more. You know the Loshen in the Mishnah, the Asola nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. They said, Oindin Sfufim, the Mishtacharim Vavokim. When they stood up, there was no room, but when they bowed down, there was room for everybody. In other words, every single person, not just the Kohanim, not just the Gedolim, any person, any child standing in the Beis HaMikdash, when he bowed down, he found there was room. But when he was standing up, he was squashed in. Can you imagine the impact that would have on a person, on a child? But now I have it, it's for me, the nes was done for me. What an impact that makes on a child when the child sees it for me, the Kodesh Baruch Hu did that nes. how fascinating that would be if we would have that. These are some ripple effects, the korbanos, the regel, chinuch bonim, that we're missing. That's what we're missing, and that's what Yirmiyahu was crying for, and he told the philosopher, don't you realize what we don't have? This is what we don't have. We don't have our source of life. However, Rabbi Yisai, I saw in Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, that Aaron Kutler took this point even further, and he said as follows, every difficulty which occurs in Klal Yisrael, or any hardship, any tzoras, is all because of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. Meaning everything which ever goes wrong in Klal Yisrael is all has in it a tail end, a ripple effect of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara, I think the Baron brings down this Maaser from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Rabbi Gamliel heard in the night a woman crying her eyes out. She lost her child, Lo Aleinu, and she was bitter crying during the night. And Rabbi Gamliel started crying as well, and he cried so much over it. He was crying, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, over the Beis HaMikdash, and his eyelashes fell out. And the Talmidim saw it, and they saw that he couldn't carry on. It was disturbing Rabbi Gamliel so much, they asked the woman to move, and they moved her apartment, they moved her over a little bit, so he wouldn't hear the crying. But the Mefarshim asked on this Maisa, Rabbi Gamliel, what was he crying for? Crying for the Beis HaMikdash or crying for the woman? And did he need the woman to remind him of the Beis HaMikdash? What's the chat behind it? How can he be crying? What was he crying? And yet the Lashon of the Gemara said he cried with her. If he cried with her, he was crying for the woman, for the child, not for the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim answered, no, this is what Rabbi Aaron mentions. The meaning is that Rabbi Gamliel was reminded through the tzar of the woman that our tzar is because of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. He cried over the Beis HaMikdash because he realized the tzar of the woman is because of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. And that's where we're up to. Every tzar which we have in front of us is a result of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. I remember the episode that they came to Rav Shach and they asked Rav Shach, I remember reading about it, that they wanted to make a special day for the Holocaust, a special day of memory. And Rav Shach said, no, you missed the point. We have a day. Tisha B'Av is the day for the Holocaust. Everything comes under the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Sota says there isn't a day when the Kalala doesn't get worse. Every soul which we have in Klal Yisrael is a result of the Chuk Beis HaMikdash. We don't need another day, say Rav Shach. Everything is included in it. If that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, we who are sitting here in Yerushalayim in Tov Shin Pei, 2020, with the effects of the corona and everything which is happening to us here, we must think to ourselves, what is the ripple effect for us? How do we feel the Chuk Beis HaMikdash? How does it affect us in our lives at the moment? What is the devastation that is caused on us, as Rabbi Aaron mentioned? And that's what we have to think about on Tisha B'Av when we sit on the floor and we mourn and we're in our babies. How can we best understand it in our times, the difficulties that we're going through? Lanias Daiti, I think we can turn to Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Hirsch brings down that the letters Ovel are the same as the letters Avol, meaning that a person is so overwhelmed and overcome by his difficulties, Avol, his Avelus is Avol, he can't see clearly. But everything that I have is not worth it because of the difficulties that I have, Aval. Aval means that I can't think, I'm blurred in my vision, I can't see things clearly, I don't understand things very well. I'm completely consumed with my Avelus, Aval. Avelus is Avol. Example which is given, for example, Elena, a parent loses a child, and people come and menachem with him and say to him, listen, you should know you have a beautiful family behind besides all this. And the father says, yes, but I lost this child. Doesn't help me talking about the other children, because I lost this child. Avol, my avelus is avol. It's a ripple effect. The painful effect which I feel because of it. And that's what my difficulty is. I'm overcome by my difficulties that I'm in at the moment. Rav Simcha Wasserman once explained that he heard from Rav Shimon Shkop that Rav Shimon had come to visit London in 1920, raised money for his yeshiva, and he went to Menachem Ovel. And when he was sitting there comforting them with the Ovel, someone turned around to him and asked him if they could borrow a pen. He didn't have a pen. Rav Shimon had a very expensive fountain pen, and he gave it over to the person who, the Ovel, wanted to use the pen, and never gave it back. And Rav Shimon couldn't ask for it because he felt that if he would ask for his pen, people would think that he's more interested in his pen than the Avelim. And he lost his pen and it cost him quite a lot of money. It was an expensive fountain pen. And he said, see, people just forget about things. When they're in Avelus, even the pen they don't return. They don't think of it. And he lost his pen because of it. And the Simcha said, that's what it means, Avelis. Avelis means you're overcome by your difficulties. And that's the meaning which we have to explain and understand. When we say the words to an Ovel, Hamokom Yenachem Eschem, the social Avelis, how does that help the Ovel? The person Lo Aleinu is sitting shiva in Avelis, and you turn around and say, Hamokom Yenachem, how does it help him that Avelis Yerushalayim? That's the answer. The answer is when he begins to hear that his difficulty is connected with the availability of Yerushalayim. That's where he gets his nechama from. My hardship is not just brought on by me, it's brought on because of the availability of Yerushalayim. And that's the nechama which a person gets. Perhaps that's the way he's misnaching, to hear that his tzoras are tzoras which come from the source of the nation rather than his own individual. And that's why we say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem. It's the aval. The aval takes over. I mean, it's not just for me. It's also clearly so difficult, and that's what the pattern meant. The avelus is an avelus which takes over the person, and the avelus of Yerushalayim is affects every possible bracha which I have in my life. Let's look at some examples. For example, yeshivas which we know of, not at the moment maybe, but usually in the Beis Yaakovs are full, absolutely full. Places are overwhelmed with the numbers. I know in the Mir Yeshiva, in the time of the man, it's not the corona, places are full. The Manala, one of the Manalim of Lakewood told me that every single year they have to, I think, make 15 new classes in all the Chadorim. The numbers are enormous. And the growth is tremendous, the number of people who are involved in learning Torah. And we have tremendous nachas from that to see what's going on in Klal Yisrael. Rabbosai, aval, we know that many, many children fall by the way. That's the aval, it's from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The assimilation is tremendous in our times. Many families sit down and sing Hashem Shabbos Habenim Abbas, but other children never are not there at the table. They maybe fell from the way, and they got caught up in assimilation, they got caught up with technology. And children, that's the aval in our times, it's all from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we have this soul which is going on. I was once sitting at the table of the Novo Minsker Rebbe, Sefer Tzadik Baruch, on a Shabbos morning. And in the middle of the Suda, the Rebbe wasn't there. He was like in a trance. He was in a different place. And I turned around and I said, Rebbe, what is on your mind? He said the following, only the Ribbono Shel Olam can solve this problem. And I said to him, what does the Rebbe mean? He said, I'll tell you what I was thinking of during the Suda. I myself have taken on the responsibility to close 3 yeshivas on the eastern seaboard in the last 6 months. That's what he told me. I had to close them because the hanhala of the yeshivas had told the bachurim, you cannot have laptops in your room at night. It doesn't work. And they wouldn't listen. So I told them to close down the yeshiva. And I told 3 of them to close. They wouldn't listen. And you can't have learning in yeshiva and then in the evening they're going into their rooms and learning and opening their laptops and looking at every scene which shouldn't be seen. You can't have that. The overriding influence of technology and computers, how many children are affected, are more in love with their computer than they are with Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the Churban Beis HaMikdash in our time. And the Rebbe then turned around and said, only Ribbono Shel Olam can solve that problem. That's an enormous problem which we're facing. We can't solve that problem. It's beyond us. The amount of assimilation, what's happening in the same gender marriages, what's going on? It's a Churban in our people. How people are, the promiscuity and the corruption and morality is to give a look what's happening in our society. That's the aval. The aval is from the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the influence of the goyim which we have, which has taken over us. My sister, she should be well, Mrs. Judith Nemeth in London, has a tremendous role in trying to keep the atmosphere of Kedusha in the schools and the Department of Education in London. She has an enormous fight with them because they're trying to make all the standards secular and educate children about same gender marriages and all this business. It's a Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what the effect that we're feeling here. That's the aval. Even though our numbers are great and the number of people and the books which are coming out in the Sforim, but the impact of the Churban Beis HaMikdash is so strong in our lives. And that's the impact which Rabbi Gambia meant, and that's what Rabbi Aaron was talking about. Let's look at it ourselves. At the beginning of the year, the whole of Klal Yisrael was in tremendous celebration of Chagigah, the Siyam HaShatz. The Siyam HaShatz took over everybody, and the celebrations, and the music, and the dancing, and the actors, and everybody was on a high. 2 months later, we're all thrown out of our shuls. That's the aval, Rabbi said. The aval is the corona which took over, and therefore, It's a result of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We still have our Tzoras, and our Tzoras have taken away all our Simcha, perhaps. How many people look at these films of the Siyum HaShas and start to cry? Someone told me, I see them. He said, I can't look at them anymore because it breaks my heart to see what we're going through now. That's an impact of the Churban Beis Hamikdash that we have. I heard a mama from the Elia Budni Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva of Mir, who gives a beautiful explanation he gave. What does it mean, the Ovel and the Aval of a Hirsch? And I think he meant his words like this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, in Samaches, Elokim Moishiv Yechidin Baisa, Moitzi Asurim Bakoshovitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu settles families in their homes, and Moitzi Asurim, he takes out those who are trapped, the Koshovitz. And we know the pasuk refers to Zman HaKosher, which is springtime. He refers to the pasuk in Samaches of Kriyas Yamsut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the Yechidim Baisa, he kept the families together, and he took them out, the Koshovitz, in the springtime. But the Gemara in Sota learns out, said the Budni, the word Bakoshovitz means in Bechi and in Shiva. In Bechi, and isn't that so much our times that we're going through? We are Moshiv Yechidim Baisa. We sit alone in our homes. Mamash Kipshuta, Echa Yoshua Babot, Babosi Am. We're sitting alone, Kamona. We're sitting in our homes alone. Babosi Am. And he's Motzi as the Koshos in Bechi and in Shira, meaning our Shira that we've been saved. We're here today. We're able to talk about things on Tisha B'Av. We're alive. Moshiv Lashem Kol Tagmuloi alive. But at the same time, the loss is enormous. The Rabbonim who have died, the Askonim who have died, the Tzadikim, the Amonas which have grown in Klal Yisrael. The Tzar is enormous, and that's the Aval. The Aval is the Avelus. We overcome, nevertheless, the Shira, but in spite of the Shira, that people have been saved, and we have a right to say Hallel every single day. I heard that the Satmar Rebbe had said, in Kiryas Yoel, he had said that everybody should bench Goyimel, he said there, and everyone should say Shechiyonu. I don't know if you pass them like this, it's sort of the Chassam Sofer, that if you're safe from a Magepa, you say a Bench Goyma. We don't even not know it like that. But we are, that's our Shira, but our Shira is taken away from the Bechi, and that's the Aval which we have. It's taken away from us. That's the impact of the Churban Beis Hamikdash that we have to think about on Tisha B'Av. We have to realize how far the impact has gone. You look around Beit Shemesh and you see over past Gimel, you see like buildings everywhere going up. The Yishuv and Eretz Yisrael is tremendous. You realize how much growth there is and the roads which are being developed. At the same time, you hear what's going on in Europe. That's the Aval and the BLM, the Black Lives Matter. And suddenly people are beginning to realize America is not the Golden Medina anymore. It's not what we thought it was. And the problems with Iran and the anti-Semitism which is going on in Europe. That's the Aval. We have great Simcha that Eretz Yisrael is being built up. And we see great strides going ahead, but the Aval, it's taken away, and that's what the Mangamil meant, and that's what the Aval meant. It's taken away from us because the Churban Beis Hamikdash has removed part of our Simcha, and without the Beis Hamikdash, it's not complete. And that's what we're going through. You can go even closer to home. Look in this shul here. Kanaina Hall, when I first came to this community, I was overwhelmed, the beautiful community here, and now you see children 7, 8 years later, children growing up, families being raised. Most beautiful kehillah here, nachas from the family. Rabboisai, aval, aval, we lost avor. That's the great aval that we have. Look at our aval here. We lost a prince of Torah who was plucked from our midst. A prince of Torah in his prime was taken away. But that's our aval. That's our alze levonim that we have here. Our alze levonim, when a man of such caliber and such prolific understanding and ability. He was our Yirmiyahu who answered all our questions. The Kehillah is a beautiful Kehillah, but Aval, we lost from Chaim Zeyer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I was thinking to myself, everybody must have felt that when they went to the Shiva, and everybody saw the family sitting Shiva. We should also have been sitting Shiva. This Tisha B'Av is our Avelus. We sit down on the floor, we mourn for our Aval that we have. Without having the world here, we feel it. We feel it. It's our, at least one day in the year, that we have a chance to sit that Avelus. And that's our Aval. Without the Chaim Zeyer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our Kehillah is broken. It's not the same. That's the Aval that we have. Loshen of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Doidi Yorad Leganoi, Narugas Haboisim, Lilois Baganim, the Milka Oshoshanim. My beloved went down into the garden, amongst the place where the spices are, to see the garden and look at Rosh Hashanah. He says the Baal Nesivos, he plucked out the tzaddikim, he plucked out the Chaim Zeh from us. He plucked him out. That's a chulin beis hamikdash for us. That's our aval that we have. We lost such a person, such a caliber. I was thinking, though, came out even almost a year after his passed on. What exactly is the aval by the chulin of our Erez Albonim, of the Chaim Zeh, not having him here? How can we best describe it in Tisha B'Av? I think it's like this. We should become Talmidim of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in the following way. The Mishnah in Ovis says that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. And he turned around to them and he said to them, "Su'u u'ru'u eizu hi derech toiva shiyit bakor ha'olam." He turned around and said to the Talmidim, "What is the best way? Go out and see the middah, the characteristic of the personality trait that you should take on." And the five Talmidim, each one said something. Rabbi Elezer said something. He said, "I interpret." Yeshua said, "Vayisanoilah." They each said something. Each had something to say. The Gaon says, "What does su'u mean?" Su'u means think for yourself. Use your own imagination and enterprise to think. What does it mean? Su'u. Think by yourself. The Chok Rav explained that the Yochanan ben Zakkai knew the Churban was taking place. He knew there would be a Churban. That's why he asked for Yavne, the Chachamecha. He knew it was coming. And therefore, he turned around to the Talmidim and said, "So when you go out into Golus, what is the middah that you need in order to survive in Golus? What is it? What is the middah that you need most of all to survive in Golus?" And the last one was Rebbe Elezer ben Aruch, and he turned around and he said, "Leiv Tov." That's what you need in Golus. You need a Leiv Tov. A Leiv Tov is a person with heritage, who cares, who understands, who has empathy, who has ichpatiyut for other people. That is what the middah of the world was. A Leiv Tov. His Leiv Tov was the motivation behind, and that's what we need in Golus. We are in Golus. And he had a Leiv Tov, and that's the loss of the man here. He was a Leiv Tov, and that Leiv Tov was our whole binding for our life here. That was Hihem Chayenu, and that was our base Chayenu. That was our fears that we had for him. Early in the Mishnah describes that the Elezer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, described the greatness of each of these Talmidim. He was Meir Shvocha. He said Rabbi Elezer ben Urkanes was a Bor Sud. Rabbi Yeshua was Ashrei Yoladotoy. Rabbi Yosi was a Koyrin, Chosid. Rabbi Shimon ben Nathanael said Yoreichet. Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch said Amayel HaMisgaber. That's the quality which Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch had. Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch, who said a Leiv Tov, had the quality of Amayel HaMisgaber. Amayel HaMisgaber is someone, said the Maharal, who is able with his own seichel to lift himself up with his own imagination and his own originality. And that's the Leiv Tov. The Leiv Tov is governed. Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch, his personality was Amayel HaMisgaber. And that's what the world was. He was Amayel HaMisgaber in his originality. And that's what was needed in God. And that's what needed in God. And that's what the man was. And that's our aval. Our aval is that we're missing that originality, that Amayel HaMisgaber that he had. And that was what carried us through. And that's the trait which was needed in Golus. And that's what we're missing. His inner momentum that he had, his pnimius and his originality. And that's our aval that we have. I wasn't fortunate to be able to come to all the Hesbedim, but who can forget the words of Dr. Blass, when Dr. Blass described the enormous Leiv Tov of the world. When Dr. Shmuel Schwartz, when he gave his explanation of when he asked the world every single question, and he was always there for him. I remember the author of Art School, one of the Mechabim, came along. Everybody said the same. It was Amayel HaMisgaber. But Stein came from the Chabad and said that. And who can forget the words of the Berkowitz? He turned around and said to one of us here, "But this was a luxury here that you had here." What was a luxury? The luxury was a Leiv Tov in this man of Golus and a Amayel HaMisgaber. And that's what we have to sit on the floor for on Tisha B'Av this year. The year of Avelis for such a person. It was a luxury that we have, as the Berkowitz said. And that's what we're missing. I was thinking to myself, just as I was thinking of my words, perhaps the world was something like a Rav Schreiber Feigl Mendelovitz to us, who were bound. He was a revolutionary in Toivah in the art school. He was such an enormous player, and his influence was so great. He was on that caliber. And that's the Arzei Halavonah that we're missing here. Just as an insight, if you have a chance to, the shul brought out a chaveret of some of the comments that he made on Chavos HaVodos. I took the last one, but I think this really sums up the Leiv Tov and the Amayel HaMisgaber that is behind him. The last Kenyan in the 30th one, in the Chayvetz, which was brought down, when Chayvetz had was Cheshvan Anabas, is, reflect that I am a stranger in this world. I have to keep the laws of this land. I have to help strangers. I have to serve the ruler, be content with the fulfillment of my basic needs. I have to prepare for my departure and my provisions needed for the journey. I should express gratitude to the ruler and graciously bear any difficulties I have. And then they said, these are the insights. Listen to the words so that you can hear him speaking. This is the Mayan HaMisgaber and those words. After you understand, you'll see that your neshama does not belong here in this world. You're essentially a stranger here, with a visa allowing you to be here for a certain amount of years. You are here at the behest of the king. That's how you live, you know? Who will give you a set of instructions allowing you to stay, and he will provide for you. Your feeling of not really belonging here, because you are your neshama, and your neshama has the following qualities: humility, preparing for your return journey to where you do belong, keeping to the terms of the visa, satisfaction with what you are given, gratitude towards the king and to whoever helps you on this trip, and other high quality characteristics. That's him, no? That's the Agrah which we have behind him. That was a Lev Tov. And that's the Yirmiyahu in our times that we have in front of us. And therefore, what can we say on Tisha B'Av? You can turn around and say to us, Hamok in Yanachem Eschem, the social legacy in Yerushalayim. We are in Avelus because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And our loss here in this community and the loss to all of Klal Yisrael is this, because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Prince of Torah was plucked away in his prime. And that's what we're seeing of. Cheshbon HaNefesh must be on Tisha B'Av to think of this, and especially at home here in this shul, where he was so dynamic and so original in his thought. But that's the influence of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi said. And that's what Reb Hirsch meant, and that's what the Adel is the Adal, and that's the impact that we have. We must look everything, go back to the source, go back to the Churban Beis Hamikdash where it was. And that's what we're missing, Beis Chayenu, Baruch Nefesh Toshia. Rabbi Shabbat should take us up on the ground, we should be able to walk in Simcha, in the Kabbalah, in the Mashiach, in Hail the Amen.